Thanks for listening to Countdown to Kickoff. Now, 97.9 FM, WCHL Championship Sports, present The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
Larry Fedora and Bubba Cunningham are here, and they have taken football in another direction.
An old-school traditionalist. I want to go back to 8 members, including South Carolina.
Join us for the next hour of our pregame coverage as Art Chansky and internet legend Bob Lee discuss Carolina football and all the hot topics concerning college football here in town, across the ACC, and across the country.
Again, underneath to Morris. Morris at the 40, 35, 30. Romar's going to go. Go, Romar, go. Touchdown, Carolina.
I look more at how we do against institutions that I consider our comparables, and certainly Virginia would be in that.
Larry Fedora is Bill Belichickian in his approach to injuries.
The win today, particularly after last week, will help quite a bit, if only for the short term, before we have to face some other realities.
A win here, he becomes a hero to Tar Heel Nation.
Now, page 2 of 97.9 FM's exclusive Carolina football pregame coverage. The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
Hey, this is Art C. from Greenville, North Carolina, the only place where you can get 15 tents and 150 tailgaters in a very small front yard.
Chansky, you and Larry Fedora have got to bring a W home from Greenville today.
Next from WCHL Championship Sports, it's time for The Good Sports. Art C.
That's me.
And Bob Lee.
That's me.
And I'm Rand Northam. Today's Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee is coming from 2 locations. And we'll call it Heaven and Hell today. Bob Lee is here with me in the WCHL studios, along with our engineer Alex Curley. And Art C. is in Greenville, as you heard, not yet behind bars, alongside on-site engineer Anthony Wellman, as we count down to kickoff of UNC and ECU. Good afternoon, Good Sports. What do you think?
Well, good afternoon, Ran, and good afternoon, Bob Lee. And if you hear the R's from here, I'm not saying it. They're all around us. We're engulfed in an R of R's. And this is really a fun place. We have always said that East Carolina has one of the great pregame atmospheres in all of college football, yet WCHL wasn't allowed to be amongst it. We thought we did things right, but we didn't, and we were asked to leave. But Keith, right across from the stadium, has a private tailgate right here at the corner of 14th and East Rock Ridge, or East Rock something, right across the street from Dowd and Fickley Stadium, and we have Dowdy Ficklin Stadium, and we're having a blast. The people here are tremendous, mostly East Carolina folks, but a few Tar Heels mixed in. And Bob Lee, all I can say is I wish you were here.
I'd love to see those legendary East Carolina co-eds. I tell you, where you are is probably closer than where I was the last time Carolina played in Dowdy Ficklin. I was in the very top row of those East grandstands. We were so high up, the fly over was a fly under. Wait a minute, that's a great line.
Well,
come
it.
On now. Cue the laugh track. The fly under, fly over was a fly under. We were so high up. If it hadn't been for one pine tree, I could have seen my porch light in Raleigh. We were that high up. So I hope that was
I have to interrupt you because we have just found somebody with an NC shirt on, football shirt. The name on the back is North Carolina Tar Heels, and your name is?
Pamela Fox.
Pamela Fox, aptly named, I would say. Look, how do you feel in this midst of pirate purple here?
Since I just got here, I'm feeling all right, although I've heard a few...
R's, right?
Or other things, yes.
Well, great. Have a great day, and you're very bold to wear that Carolina shirt, and go Tar Heels, right?
That's right, go Heels.
All right. Okay. Every time we have a Carolina fan walk by in the sea of purple, we have to do something about it. Especially
Art, I want you to be careful, Chansky.
She looks like that.
Chansky, we've heard a lot this week about things that college students say on campus. So I want you to be real careful about what you let people say that college students are all saying on campus about memes or something. Be real careful letting college students talk on the radio.
Well, look, that was not a college kid, I guarantee you. And second of all, like Anson Doran's soccer team, my feet are on the ground. I am not on a table, and I am not yelling anything even close to anything that could offend anybody.
Well, now, we need to remind our listeners and hold them on here that we will be talking about what we just talked about later on the show after we have some great guests. But you and I have been known to have opinions, and this week in college football and football in general has been one ideally made for Art Chansky and Bob Lee.
Boy, that's for sure. And and guys, I don't know if you know about this either, but I think Krispy Kreme was in on this game this week too, because I don't know if you knew, yesterday was Talk Like a Pirate Day. I think they were in on it, and I don't like that too much.
Talk Like a Pirate Day from Krispy Kreme in the home of Rand Northam? I cannot believe that.
And if you're dressed up like Jack Sparrow, you got a free dozen.
A free dozen.
I think, yeah.
You talk like a pirate, you get one donut free, but you get a whole dozen free if you dress up like a pirate.
How did you let that happen, Rand? How did you?
Sorry, Eric.
But anyway, let's go back to this atmosphere. 14th Street is the street that runs right along Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium. It's the main thoroughfare. It's the entrance on the right to all of the parking lots that surround the stadium with tailgating. And we're just on the left. And at some point in time, David Glenn of the Big Tailgate Tour and the David Glenn Show was going to be stopping by as our guest. And he's been in another part of town because they wouldn't let him go on campus either. David Glenn, I mean, he doesn't support anybody. He loves everybody. So, but I don't understand it.
I got a question for you, Art, and I don't know whether you can tell from where you are, but when I was there, there was one tailgate guy that had an RV that he had built into a pirate ship. He had sails on top of it and a plank you could walk. I mean, it was a whole pirate ship on top of a Winnebago. Can you see that guy?
No, I heard he ran aground, though, so that's probably, I can't. But we did see people in some unbelievable vehicles. That one pirate car that came by was sort of, what was that, Anthony? What was that, like a, you know, pedaling?
He was pedaling, but it was built like a ship, so it kind of looked like it was floating across the water still. It was a pretty unique setup.
Yeah, they really, they do it, football, this is a football school, and it's been a football school for a long time.
They've
tried to build it, and they've done it now. They're now in the AAC. Bob Lee, what does the AAC stand for?
All-American Conference.
You are the man.
I got a question for you. I got a question for you and Rand.
Okay.
My pirate trivia question. What was the name of Blackbeard's ship?
Had something to do with Nina, didn't it?
Pinta and the Santa Maria.
Close. The name of Blackbeard's ship was Queen Anne's Revenge.
Ah, yes.
And they discovered it a few years ago off of Cape Hatteras.
That's right. Should have known that.
All right. Well, there's no ships around here. Everybody is fully aground and ready for this ball game. And we've had a lot of talk about what the Tar Heels have to do. Lee Pace stopped by, and he said that a lot of things that happened against San Diego State have been corrected in the last week, the off week the Tar Heels have, especially on the front line where Landon Turner is not playing. But Lucas Growley is going to play, and he's going to be more in tune with what's going on. They were moving guys around against the Aztecs a lot, and Lee seemed very confident. He was on his way to guess what? He was on his way to a barbecue tailgate. What a surprise!
Yeah.
But he said the coaches have been working really hard on that part, the offensive line, and also tackling. They missed a ton of tackles against San Diego State. And they were doing live tackling drills in the last week, actually tackling guys and throwing them to the ground in practice. So they hope that transfers into what's going to happen on the gridiron here.
That always makes for a fun week to be a walk-on.
Oh, absolutely. When you're the human tackling
there
dummy.
There you go. Be the human tackling. This week you're going to donate your body to UNC fundamental drills.
You've set the scene in Greenville. And UNC is an underdog to ECU, a 5-point underdog.
Is that the first time that's ever happened?
As far as I can recall, I think so. So is that a proper representation of this game, though?
Well, when they came here with the Butcher in 2007 and they lost 34-31, I'm not sure. I think it was a pick'em game. It was a pretty even game going in, but never before. Carolina has never been an underdog. Yeah, a lot of people thought East Carolina would win the game last year because of Carolina's defense, but I think the Tar Heels were still favored going into that game. But they're a solid underdog today. East Carolina is as good, if not better, than last year. They played South Carolina very tough. They went into Blacksburg and won, where that doesn't happen very often. And if they can win this game, then they go into their AAC schedule, which is much lighter than playing the ACC and the SEC. So, you know, East Carolina has got it rolling here, and the Tar Heels are going to try and throw a cog in that. And, of course, if the Carolina has dreams of a season, the next nine games are the games that are going to determine how real those dreams are. In fact, they're a nightmare because the schedule, which once looked manageable, doesn't look manageable to me anymore. It looks like you have to take them one at a time and play well in each of those games.
Well, you know, I've wondered, we're 2-0, and 2-0 is 2-0. Both wins count. They both count towards the six, et cetera, et cetera. But you take out 3 minutes of that Liberty game, and we could have lost both of those games. Now, the idea that we could have lost a Liberty, no, we probably couldn't have. But any way that that score looks great is take out those 3 minutes, and that's a nail-biter. And we know that the Aztecs, we could have easily lost that game with that last drive that we got the interception. So two nondescript teams that we have not looked good against, and now we're playing a legitimate giant killer that is a true team. And then from this, we go right into Clemson, and no telling what they're going to be coming off of. After what happens tonight, they could no telling what's going to be their situation. This is really, as I see it, almost a must-win game for us, if it's fair to say that, the third game of the year.
Well, I think the poll voters made the biggest point of it, too, is that after the second week, after that second win, even though it was a win, it dropped UNC out of the AP poll. The coaches kept them at 25, I believe. And then a bye week actually did better things for UNC than a win in week two. So I think that talks a lot about those contests, too, and how much that could play into today.
Well, it certainly doesn't get any easier. It gets real tough from this point on.
It sure does. And this one is going to be a barometer on how they do the rest of the way. Because even the scoring against Liberty and San Diego State, as you said, Bob Lee, was decisive when it happened. The way it happened was not what you need to rely on for victories. I mean, the 100-yard interception by Biwak and then the 91-yard touchdown pass to Hollins. Those things you love. They're great crowd pleasers. The band stands up. Everybody goes nuts. But what you want to do is have sustained drives, move the chains, pick up first downs, and when you get to the red zone, score six and not three. And that's the recipe for today's game, because you don't want Shane Carden on that field a lot today. And you also want field position. You don't want him operating from between the 30s or between the 40s. You want back them up, and Hibbard's going to have to do a good job today. So there's a lot of things that have to go right for the Tar Heels today, and they could. But the odds are really stacked against them, I think.
Bob Lee, you asked me earlier, is ECU on the future schedules? And from right now, what I can see, they're not next year. There's only one game scheduled for 2016. There's two games in each of 2017 and 2018, and they're not in any of those. So ECU right now is not on the future schedule.
Well, I'm going to wait till we get David Glenn, and David Glenn and Chansky and I can talk about whether or not they should be, if you want to fill stadiums in this day of TV stealing people out of the seats.
Does it mean a lot that East Carolina can fill the stadium there and UNC can't always fill the stadium here when ECU comes here?
Well, I think they did. I think if East Carolina came to Keenan Stadium, let's say every other year or every third year, whatever, it doesn't have to be every year, they're going to bring more fans than almost anybody other than state. In terms of people, not just the 5,000 seats or 20, whatever we have that we give the visiting team, what's sold on StubHub and picked up outside the, you know, East Carolina would certainly be rivalry with NC State as far as bringing people to Chapel Hill to spend money with our wonderful Franklin Street merchants.
Art, your thoughts?
Well, I'm not sure that East Carolina sells out every game that they play, every home game that they play, because, you know, it's the same thing here as it is everywhere else. You have other options. You're very close to the coast here while it's still warm weather. But this game in itself really needs to be on the schedule and should be every year, and I'm surprised that they're taking a break, because it's great for both schools. It's great for both fan bases. And certainly, you know, the Tar Heels travel. I don't think there'll be a whole lot of Tar Heels here today because they can't get a lot of tickets. And that's different in Chapel Hill. It seems to be that anybody can come to Chapel Hill and buy a ticket outside from somebody for some price somewhere. But that's not the case here. And, you know, with the games on TV, it's that that's the option. So people don't try that hard. But this game is going to be a decidedly purple stadium with a few little dots of light blue. So we'll see what happens. The atmosphere here, though, is, I think, second to none. It is phenomenal. It's going on all around the stadium. And right here with less than two hours from kickoff, and nobody looks like they're going to budge toward the stadium. So it'll be interesting to see when everybody wants to quit this stuff and go watch some football.
1 hour, 45 minutes until we kick it off on ESPNU. This is The Good Sports on WCHL. Artsy and Bob Lee, I'm Rand Northam. We'll be back with more as we break it down. UNC in East Carolina from Greenville.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. People often ask me about the price of gasoline and what they can do to save at the pump. Right now, you can save 6 cents per gallon when you sign up for an ExxonMobil Rewards Smart Card at Cruisers. When you use the card, we save on credit card fees and pass the savings along to you. Think of the savings each time you fill up and beyond. Stop by any of our 24 convenient area locations and we'll sign you up.
Save 6 cents per gallon when you sign up for the ExxonMobil Smart Card. Cruisers, good to go.
One great team joins another. The team at Harrington Bank is now part of the Bank of North Carolina family. Harrington Bank customers will continue to see familiar faces along with some new ones, along with more products and services. At Bank of North Carolina, we are operating from a position of strength and stability. We work with individuals, businesses, and professional clients. We invite you to visit us at our Chapel Hill locations or at any of our other banking offices throughout the Carolinas. If your bank is not delivering more than you expect, we need to talk. Member FDIC.
And he hits Davis 40 yards downfield. Touchdown!
What a huge grab. Let's see that again in slow motion.
Going up, feet are inbounds, and he's pulling out his phone to get a free rate quote from Geico?
So he could save hundreds of dollars on his car insurance.
While he pulls down the ball with the other hand. Phenomenal!
That was one for the highlight reel, folks.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
It's The Good Sports with Art C and Bob Lee. We are in, Bob Lee and I, in Chapel Hill right now in the WCHL studios while Art C and Anthony Wellman are in enemy territory in Greenville. And all we've heard, Bob Lee, is that it's purple and gold. And God, I hate those colors. I went to Appalachian State. I hate them as much as anybody else. But enemy territory it is. And all we've heard for the last 2 weeks is how East Carolina is this strong team that Carolina is not going to be able to handle, and that it's all East Carolina in this. And a 5-point, how much does the bye week play into this, too, that Carolina gets that extra oomph to an extra break to be able to come into this one?
Well, not only that, but remember, everybody, and I'm sure all of us, watched their game last week in Blacksburg.
Sure.
And watched that first quarter where it looked like they were just going to run up 100 on the fabulous Bud Foster, the legendary Bud Foster defense, that first quarter. And then they kind of stopped doing that. They took their foot off the accelerator, as they say, and it ended up being having to come back in the last end of the fourth quarter to win that game. But they still did win it. Now, I wonder what happened to that big 400-pound guy that intercepted the ball. Remember, that they've got some big, huge 400-pound Jimmy Williams or somebody that sits in the middle of the line, their version of Refrigerator Perry, I guess. And I wonder if he's become a cult figure around Greenville.
Well, I haven't heard his name shouted out too much.
You remember
this
week. You remember the guy, though?
It was
an ESPN highlight that there's just 400 pages, but he's not 400. He's close to it, though. He's well over 300. He hadn't seen 300 in a lot of Krispy Kremes ago. But Did he intercept?
Maybe he talked like a pirate this week.
Oh, yeah. He talked. Yeah, he could be on Jack Sparrow's crew for sure as they go to World's Edge or World's End or wherever Jack Sparrow and the Black Pearl sail. But, you know, Art was talking about their rivalry. And East Carolina has really been in a kind of a screwy conference situation for the last 4 or 5 years where they had no natural rivals. They didn't even play a team in the same time zone. I mean, they were playing Southern Miss,
exactly.
Which was Fedora, went there a couple of times, and TCU and Houston and Tulsa. And the fact that they've continued to draw a good Dowdy Ficklin, even when there was no reason to think that the team they were playing, anybody knew anything about them. They were just like out-of-conference games, basically. So I applaud their fan base. And, yes, they're near the beach, and they've got TV and stuff down there. But I applaud their fans for probably being the most loyal over the last 5 or 6, 8 years since Ruffin's been there as anybody.
Well, Art Chansky has some more juice, I think. I think he's back, so that's good to hear.
Look, I it's hard to get through this sea of Pirate fans, but they're all gathered around here, and they want to give you a little school spirit. So what do you say? One more time.
Good thing this is radio not TV.
That is so trite, Chansky. That is so trite.
He's just trying to suck up the IMG.
There you go.
What do you want me to say? Get somebody here to go heels?
Go heels.
Come on, go heels.
Well, Alex was here, and he just answered the R with heels. R.
Yeah,
heels.
R is pretty good.
I got one for you, Chansky. I got a question for you today. We were talking about the co-ed, and everybody knows they're just legend. East Carolina has the prettiest co-eds in North Carolina. Everywhere I've ever gone in the last 5 or 6 years, I've asked the students there who started this tradition of co-eds wearing cowboy boots at football games. Every school in America claims they started that. Would you please get an East Carolina co-ed to say, oh, yes, that started in Greenville back with Steve Logan or Clarence Stasevich. They all claim they started the tradition of girls wearing cowboy boots to football games.
And he has
I got one right here. I have one right here.
All right. Where did the tradition start?
Country. Well, that's a good question. There's a rumor here that East Carolina co-eds and young ladies started tradition of wearing skirts and cowboy boots. Is that true?
It is so true. I
Now, you started. I mean, Bob Lee on the other end, he claims that no, he's never seen it until he's down here in Greenville. So you all started it, right?
Yeah, we started it.
Yeah.
They look good in their cowgirl boots and their dresses.
Oh, you do. No question about that. But I've got co-ed at Missouri and LSU and TCU and SMU that all claim they started. But I'll take that little girl.
I wonder if Texas would actually claim
that.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, Texas claims everything. Texas not
Harvard,
the United States.
Harvard probably says they started wearing cowboy boots. Plus, that's a fan's right to claim it always started in there at their school because every school has the best fans in America. R.
So, all right. So, back to the game a little bit. UNC, two quarterbacks have been the question in the entire offseason. Of course, we've been talking about ECU's quarterback leading into this one. We've seen more of Marquise Williams, and I think that's all what we thought was going to happen. Mitch Trubisky's going to come in and add his part to the game as well. But is that two quarterback system, is it going to grow? Is it going to dwindle a little bit? Is it working right for UNC? Is that the answer?
Well, Bob Lee, let me take this one, okay?
Yes.
All right. It failed. It obviously failed, and Fedora made the right call because no matter who is a better quarterback or a better athlete, if you play a two-quarterback system and it's at the expense of both of them, if neither of them flourish, if both of them don't flourish in that system, then you very quickly have to name a starter, and that's what he did, and I applaud him for that. He had to go with Marquise. Marquise was better. He had more experience. The people who watch Carolina practice and they're familiar with it, they think Mitch Trubisky is a great athlete, maybe a better all-around athlete than Quease is. But when it's at the expense of both quarterbacks you're rotating, you've got to pick one, and that's what he's done. Now, I think Mitch will continue to get snaps. He'll continue to play just in case we need him. Something happens. Marquise has a bad day or something like that. And eventually, you know, he'll be the quarterback of the Tar Heels. But I think we're in a one quarterback system right now. Would you agree with that, Bob Lee?
Well, I think, yes, we are, and so is Jimbo Fisher, from what I understand. I saw a sign this morning at 9:04, whenever game day comes on. The first sign they show is a FSU fan holding up McGuire for Heisman. So they're running Shane McGuire for the new Heisman winner down at in Tallahassee tonight.
I think
that's
two straight years where the former Heisman has done something stupid. It's not only the second time ever, but it's two straight years at least that the former Heisman winner has done something stupid.
The irony of all this, and we're going to get into this later, the serious part of this big controversy that has taken over college football in the last 24 hours, is the backup quarterback at Alabama would be starting today at FSU had he not Blake, whatever his name, mm-hmm. Colton or whatever. He moved because he knew he wasn't going to play because Jameis was there. Now Jameis is sidelined for this big game, and the guy that moved to Alabama may have gotten usurped. There's another 10-cent word for you, by another guy at Alabama. So, and then there's a guy at West Virginia, Trickett, that could be playing today if FSU.
Well, Sean O'Brien? Sean McGuire?
Sean McGuire will be playing the entire game today.
He was in the same recruiting class as Jameis Winston, and he was in the top 25, I guess the 22nd-ranked quarterback.
Number 13, 13th-ranked quarterback out of Seton Hall Prep in New Jersey.
Yeah, that worries me, Seton Hall Prep. I don't know about the football up there, but... isn't that with TJ? No, TJ is from Atlanta. The problem with it is that you've got a situation where, talk about a must-win, FSU, if Jameis played, it was a must-win for them to stay on the course to repeat as national champion. If they lose and Jameis doesn't play, and that's, I'm rooting for Florida State today because I don't want that to happen. I just think that there'll be a really bad reaction to that. Half of it will be towards Jameis. The other half of it will be toward Florida State, which sat him out for half, a la Johnny Football. And then, Bob Lee, you have an inside scoop on how it went from a half to a whole game? Is it with the trustee showed up there last night?
When I got up at 5 o'clock this morning and fired up my computer, that's the first thing that hit me. I go to ESPN, USA Today, and Fox Sports, so the three that I usually check, and Yard Barker. And that was the big story on all of them. That sometime about 11 o'clock or 11:30 last night, the interim president and the interim AD signed a press release saying that they had decided he would not play the entire game. Missing from that list of two was the name Jimbo Fisher, who hasn't signed off on anything. And also, Jimbo refused to go on game day today. And of course, they're in Tallahassee, and normally the home coach would do a little segment with them at the desk, and he has refused to do it. So Jimbo is not a happy coach today.
It actually sounds to me like Roger Goodell might have gotten involved.
Oh yes, this has been the worst week for football, or best for guys like Chansky and I who love this kind of just convoluted mess. It's wonderful, but for football fans, this has got to be. Let's all watch the Montreal Alouettes play the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and get back to real football.
You guys, I think that Jimbo Fisher being out of it, that's the way it should be. I believe when you if you have a disciplinary problem off the field, and you have something that embarrasses the university, I think it's in the hands of the president and it's in the hands of the athletic director, and the football coach shouldn't have anything to say about it. Now, that's not always the way it's been in college athletics. We've seen demagogue coaches who control everything, and they try and protect their players, and they might punish them from within, but they want to have the final say. If a guy screws up on the practice field, if he loses his position, those things are up to the coach. But if it's a university situation where it embarrasses the university, I think it is the AD's call, and I think it is the president's call. And I don't think that they care whether Jimbo Fisher agrees with it, and I think they're right.
Well, I mean,
how about that, Bob Lee?
Well, okay, we can go into this now. If you're ready, I'll go into this now, and I will draw a parallel to something that happened back here in Chapel Hill last November when there was a notorious series of events by one star player whose initials were P and J, who was his future was in question. The head coach kept saying, almost in Jimbo Fisher's words, he's a good boy, and he's just the finest boy I've ever seen. He's a little headstrong. He has a tendency to do things, gosh darn it, just that he shouldn't do, but by golly, he's a great kid. And he kept saying that, and he kept saying that, and he kept saying that. And then finally, in November, he was gone. In the meantime, he gets a standing ovation in the lower level of the Dean Dome for being a bad boy. So I'm saying that how Roy handled PJ last November was no different than the way Jimbo was handling Jameis this week. He wanted his star player to play and have his best chance to winning. And finally, in the case of Chapel Hill, there was, from what I understand from my close associations with higher-ups in the administration, there was never any opportunity that PJ was ever going to wear a Tar Heel uniform again. But they were waiting for Roy to finally get the whatever he needs in order to say that, whereas which is contrary to what you just described, that it should have been a Carol Folt, Bubba Cunningham decision or Board of Trustees or however you want to do it, versus Roy having anything to say about PJ starting. What do you think about that, Art?
Okay, but Roy also did continually say that PJ is a good kid, but he made some mistakes. He continually said that. He never denied that PJ acted like a knucklehead. Right. And as a matter of fact, he told me that he was never madder at a player in his 26 years of coaching than he was at one point with PJ Histon. But the tradition of Carolina basketball has always been that unless it's a decision that's above the coach's head, like if it's a felony or violates a school policy or fails a drug test, then the basketball coaches always like to control what's going to happen to the player. I think those days are over, especially in a day where your brand is affected by everything that happens, and we're seeing what's going on in the NFL now. They don't know how to deal with that. But PJ Histon was a kid who probably was caught. You know, he was probably an example being made by a university that wanted to show that it was getting tough on athletics, and he did commit some things. He did do some things that warranted a penalty. Roy just wanted to be like in the Dean Smith mode. He wanted to be able to control that and punish PJ the way he wanted to punish him, and eventually, you know, and not feel like a coach threw him out of the family. That's the big difference. No one's throwing Jameis Winston out of the family.
Right, let me draw a parallel. Let me draw another parallel. You mentioned Dean relative to starting the Carolina tradition. If the Jameis situation had happened under the great Bobby Bowden, would Bobby Bowden have signed that press release last night kicking Jameis out of the second half?
Well, you don't know, because it's obviously a much different day now in college athletics with the 24-hour news cycle. You know, everything comes out and it becomes a much bigger story than sometimes it needs to be. It becomes a much bigger story much faster. So I don't know how they would have let Bobby Bowden do that or how Bobby Bowden would have done it. But certainly the days of the power coach who controls everything is over, and I agree with that.
I do too.
The coaches should not control everything. When it's a situation where the university is embarrassed and their brand is affected and their fan base is very divided, then it needs to be a decision made above the coach's head, and that's what they did. And Jimbo said, "Yeah, okay, you know, sit him down, but you announce it, because I don't want to have to talk to his family. Maybe he had a million excuses, but maybe Jimbo agreed. If I was Jimbo Fisher, I would certainly want to discipline that kid." Why did he do it before the Clemson game? I have no idea.
Well, Jimbo would have loved this to have happened last week, where he could have sat him for the entire Citadel game.
Yeah.
Which was kind of like our situation in Lofgate, where we sat our four guys before the Liberty game. Let's say a Lofgate had broken this week. Would Larry have sat his entire defensive backfield against East Carolina? Riddle me, Riddler.
Let's get that question answered in just a minute. Hold on. We're at the top of the 2 o'clock hour, 90 minutes from kickoff of UNC and ECU. We're going to take our 10-second legal ID and a quick timeout. We'll come back. A Loftgate is on the table. That's where we'll return next on The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
This is Kit Ballou of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin. Kit, years ago, you said it would be a good idea to end these spots with, "Why would you call anyone else?" I thought at some point we should answer that question, but we never have.
Sammy, we answer that question every time we go on the radio. Why don't we spell it out in our fall repartee instead of bludgeoning people with football analogies?
I'm for that. At Franklin Street Realty, we put a great team on the field every day working for you.
Okay, enough. Let's talk about the real stuff like buyer agency. It's the fiduciary relationship that is possibly more important to us than it is to you. Our job is to help you identify the difference between a house for sale and a real opportunity, and to manage the details once the choice has been made.
Folks, everyone at Franklin Street gets this and is totally committed to it. And that's one of the answers to the question. Franklin Street Realty, why would you call anyone else?
Find us on the web at franklinstreetrealty.com or on the phone at 929-7174.
You're listening to Carolina Football on 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It's the Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. Just after the 2 o'clock hour, we are 90 minutes from kickoff of UNC in East Carolina. That will be in Greenville, where Art Chansky and Anthony Wellman are set up in enemy territory. Purple and gold all around, just a tiny bit of Carolina blue there. Bob Lee's here in the WCHL studios with me, and we're safe here in Chapel Hill, on top of the hill, and we'll return home to watch this one. But some fighting words have been thrown out now as we've been talking about Jameis Winston. He will now sit the entire game of Florida State and Clemson. That's number one versus number 22, and it just got a bit more interesting because of that that seat that he will take today and will not dress out. Also, we were talking about P.J. Hairston, how that connection is there with Roy Williams. A loft gate, as Bob Lee says. We had some interesting things before the Liberty game come out with a few defensive players. Now, that was a host of players with not as big names compared to a big name who's, of course, the Heisman Trophy, contending Heisman Trophy winner. So it's not exactly the same, but Bob Lee, you're talking about sitting a core of players, some defensive players, in a game that's not quite as important or not quite as big of a challenge versus Florida State sitting their number one guy against number 22 Clemson.
Well, it's still who did what they did.
Ran.
Go ahead, Art.
Ran. Bob Lee threw it to me before the break. He cannot take the mic now.
You're exactly right. I apologize.
Okay. You should be. Should be spanked. Oh, never mind.
Somebody changed the passcode on the door so he can't get back in.
Look, it's Bob Lee, there's no comparison. We know who Jameis Winston is. We know what he did. And it was a matter of what discipline it was and who disciplined him. We still don't know who did what in a loft gate. We know that four players were suspended for the first game. We know that they were involved in some way. But we don't know anything about that. So you can't compare it at all. There's nothing. It's like a rotten apple to a fresh orange. Is that it? Apple to whatever it is.
Pomegranate.
You
Let's
can't
talk pomegranates and kiwi fruit.
But you can. I mean, how does that compare? You know Jameis Winston. It doesn't matter who he is. He won a Heisman Trophy. He was one person. He did one thing. We know what he did. We know where he did it. We know when he did it. But we don't know anything about Loftgate other than what Jackson Boyer isn't saying and his brother is tweeting. So I don't see that as a comparison.
All right, I've got a follow-up. Okay. We'll let that go. Well, I've got a follow-up question for you that they were discussing on game day. I agree to nothing. I accept nothing. But the big question is, should Florida State have Jameis on the sidelines where he will be a camera magnet the entire game, watch Jameis's expression on every play, or should they keep him out of the sideline, put him in the locker room with a TV and let him watch the game, but don't have him where the camera can find him?
Do we know where he's going to be?
They did not know on game day this morning. Paul Feinbaum didn't know. And if Paul and Samantha Ponder don't know, then nobody knows.
But that's quite a big punishment if you're going to take the guy off the field. Now, these are I understand that they're talking that this is a severe thing, and he said severe things. But you're going to remove him potentially from the field for words being said rather than actions.
You're removing him for the university standpoint of him being the camera magnet and the camera being on
him.
Sure,
I get that.
And every time the camera shows him, it's going to remind them of the embarrassment that he brought to the university.
But there's no TV in the, on the field.
Well, he could go put him somewhere if he's got to be there to support the team or something, but don't have him on the sidelines where the TV cameras can show his expression on every play, and they will. That's their job.
And they will. And it And that's, you know, that's a good point, and we don't know where he's going to be, and it doesn't even matter if they put him in the stands, because they'll find him in the stands. You remember Marvin Austin at Atlanta,
yep.
Right, in Atlanta, where they found him in a red shirt tweeting during the game. Right. So
I would definitely not have him on the sidelines. I would put him in a penthouse suite somewhere or up in the press box, but don't have him where the camera can find him.
He might be watching from the AD's box. He might be watching from the locker room. He might be watching from the coach's office. He might be watching from
the student union on top of the table.
Yeah.
Good Sports, a lot of this, a lot of the discussion of this and the severity of this and why it was taken so strongly is what he said. Now, we're obviously not going to say what he said, but it was a very serious thing. A lot is being talked about sexual assault on campuses at UNC. Now, not at UNC, excuse me. That has been everywhere, nationally. So how much did that play into the role of it, that is a big topic right now, and that was what was said? That was part of what was
not
said.
Not only that, he is linked to his own sexual assault situation that hasn't been resolved.
Right.
He could not have said anything more stupid than he said for the week to say it right in the middle of all this NFL domestic violence situation and non-respect for women, for him to say that. And I'm amazed. I mean, I have Showtime. I'm a pretty savvy guy. I know what he said. I saw what he said. That he would have put those two words in a sentence and screamed them out. I cannot comprehend anyone being that stupid.
It's got to be immaturity.
Oh,
right?
it blows immaturity out of the water. It is beyond immaturity. It's just completely stupid to do that with these connections tied in.
And considering his so-called body of work leading up to this, everything he's been involved in, you know, you can say that these are 19 to 20-year-old kids. I don't buy that at all.
No.
You know, you might have been able to say that 30 years ago, but 19 to 20-year-old kids, they can still read, watch TV, the news. They know what's going on. How hard is it them to comprehend that anything that they do is going to be caught on a video, a Vine 9-second camera phone, anything like that? They just have to do nothing, especially if they're a star. Jameis Winston's draft status has dropped like 13 places on Mel Kiper's list
since that happened.
And if that's the case, then it's going to cost him millions of dollars. So there's no excuse for it. He needed to be penalized. Every talking head said that the half game was a joke, and that's probably into the decision that FSU made to make it a full game. So, I feel for everybody in that case. I feel for Jameis Winston, even though he is pretty dumb doing that, as you say, Bob Lee. But, you know, if they lose that game today, he's not going to have the same life after this game. And that would be a tragic thing.
You know, we all know about crab claws and stealing the pop and the BB gun. What he said Thursday or Wednesday, I guess it was, when he came on in a little press deal, was exactly the same words he said after every one of those incidents. I've got to learn. I've got to be better. I know I'm going to learn from this. The exact same thing. They just read his same comments. They show the same little him being kind of smirky, kind of smiling, and then saying, you know, his team is going to band together over his adversity. It's the same crap every time with this guy.
The PR office sure has it easy because they've already got it written.
Yeah. I mean, at least change your excuses. Goodness, Lowe's. Oh, well.
And the program that he's at is so high profile, you know, you just have to wonder what in the world these guys are thinking when they do that. They know they can't get away. They can't get away with it under any circumstances, and they certainly can't get away with it at FSU. And, you know, 20 years ago, yeah, maybe they could have gotten away with it, because you got away with a lot of stuff where the coach controlled everything, he slid everything under the carpet and all that kind of stuff. But that, they know that doesn't exist right now.
I heard one of the ex-players this week, last couple of days on ESPN. It was one of the former, it wasn't Robert Smith, but it was one of those former players, say that in every team, those guys travel in packs when they go around campus. They're buddies or other players. So if you assume that he's sitting at that table in the student union with two or three other of his guys, and he has this bright idea, he's going to hop up and say, look at me, and say what he's going to say, that if he gave any indication, hey, guys, watch me, that they would have just jerked him down and stuffed a napkin in his mouth and said, Jameis, you can't do that. I know you think it's cute, but you can't do that. That they would have taken care of the situation. Not beat him up, but just no, you're not going to do that.
I wonder if there was an antagonizer.
Well, athletes always have the feeling that they're the BMOCs, you know.
But, well, they are.
I mean, they are, but let's get real. You know, if they want to be the BMOC and they want to, you know, they want to strut around and do stuff that's not really offensive to anybody else. But, you know, there's too much coverage, there's too much media, there's too many things that have happened, and there were no excuses for him to do that. The sad part about it is that he's put the school and the program in a situation where he is really going to be the villain if they lose today.
And he was really on record a year ago, as he was starting to build up to the Heisman, of saying he's never going to do a Manziel, that he would never make a public spectacle of himself like Manziel has. And he's out-Manziel'd Manziel now when you get into crab claws and this and everything else. And the big question is, what's he going to do next? You just kind of wonder, when's the third or fourth or fifth shoe going to fall with this character?
Well, so this is a story nationally now. We talked about it already, that it's not just Jameis Winston and Florida State even right now. It's college football, but it's also the NFL. The NFL is going through a major thing right now with this, and I think the reactions of everything that's happened. Is this a reactionary tale and a cautionary tale of reaction by Florida State for the initial punishment to come out, and then now the reaction of the punishment? Everybody says, oh, that wasn't enough. Well, okay, let's tack on another two quarters, and we've got a full game.
Well, the guy that's the happiest this morning has to be Roger Goodell, because the Atlanta Hawks owner originally was the happiest guy. They found the second Rice tape, because that blew the Atlanta Hawks guy off the headline.
No kidding.
So then we get Ray Rice and blah, 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 and Adrian Peterson and all that. Well, now Roger Goodell does the world.
Don't forget Greg Hardy.
No, but Roger Goodell, although Jerry Richardson chose to, but Roger Goodell does the world's worst press conference yesterday afternoon, and he's starting to get blasted until they come up at 11:30 last night and cut the second half out from under Jameis, so he becomes the story now.
Anything you can do, I can do better.
Yeah, we'll just keep taking turns wiping each other, and now they got to hope that something else, you know, a tsunami hits Southern Cal or something to wipe this story off.
I mean, yeah, it's monumental what has happened in this, and I mean, the press conference yesterday of Goodell, he tried to take the stand of, okay, now we're going to be in the forefront of it all. But I think you're right. I don't think that helped at all. And it's just the only thing that helps is something bigger breaking. You're exactly
right. And if
his
solution is, let's do a second month of everyone wearing pink, that ain't going to work, Roger. The wearing pink wristbands, we're kind of beyond that now, Roger.
We've got 15 minutes left of the good sports before we send it off to the Tar Heel Sports Network for UNC and East Carolina in Greenville. This is the good sports with Art C and Bob Lee. I'm Rand Northam, back with more preliminary talk here ahead of this game. It's a big one. Top 25 implications, if nothing else, are on the line for UNC today.
Carolina MediSpa is proud to offer the most advanced products and procedures for facial anti-aging. Our newest edition, FDA-approved Juvederm Voluma, is the latest injectable facial filler to instantly add volume to the cheek area. It gives you a subtle lift, helping to restore contour and reveal a more youthful profile for up to 2 years. Overseen by board-certified dermatologists, the providers at Carolina MediSpa are specially trained to find the treatment that is right for you. Find out more by visiting CarolinaMediSpa.com and get the lift you've been looking for.
The Saturday Morning Sports Clinic at UNC Family Medicine is open and ready to treat your acute injuries. You'll be cared for by the same physicians and staff that work with UNC and the Chapel Hill-Carrboro high school teams. UNC Family Medicine treats everything from casting to ultrasounds to x-rays, as well as provides surgical consults and concussion evaluations. The Saturday Morning Sports Clinic at UNC Family Medicine. Find out more at uncfamilymedicine.org. Just another way that UNC Family Medicine is for the course of your life.
Do you get a bad feeling every time you spend money on your lawn without getting the results you were promised? Get the good feelings you deserve. 'Cause I get a good feeling. And let the pros at Landscape Logic give you the direction and care you need to have a happy and healthy lawn.
Hello, my name is Brian Pop, owner of Landscape Logic and second generation landscaper. Fall is the best time to aerate, seed, and top dress fescue lawns. Top dressing your lawn with organic material relieves compaction in clay-based soils, creating an avenue for water and nutrients to reach the root zone of your lawn before it runs off or evaporates. Our process guarantees your yard will stay greener longer and requires less watering. And our aftercare program protects your aesthetic and economic investment throughout the entire year. You can find us on the web at landscapelogicnc.com.
Landscape Logic, recently voted the best landscaping company in Chapel Hill by over 2,000 residents, making Landscape Logic the logical choice for all your landscape needs.
It's the Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. We've been talking about what used to be the Bowden Bowl. It's far removed from that now, Jameis Winston and his woes. But now we continue to talk UNC and East Carolina. But first, a new feature in this season's show, the 60-second sound-off. What's stuck in Bob Lee's craw today?
Last Saturday morning, I gave serious thought to going over to the Wally, Wallace Wade Stadium, for Duke versus Kansas. That thought process lasted about 3 minutes. Duke versus Kansas was a 3:30 kickoff. I wanted to see East Carolina, Virginia Tech, and Missouri, Central Florida, and I wanted to see South Carolina and Georgia. I could and subsequently did enjoy all of those games hassle-free from my flat screen, plus Duke versus KU. I could have snarfed a freebie for the Duke game. Free parking is available at the Wally. The weather was fine. Duke was 2-0 with a high-powered offense, and I really like Dave Cutcliffe. Kansas is a woeful program, but it's a Power 5 school with a celebrity coach, and there was no other live college football within 50 miles. It took me less than 5 minutes to nix going to the game. Apparently, a lot of area football fans agreed with me. The Wally was as bereft of human habitation as it was 6, 8, 10 years ago. Just the same diehards that showed up for Ted Roof, Fred Goldsmith, et al. Bless their staunch little Wally-loving hearts. Duke blew out Kansas and unveiled a Gio Bernard-esque freshman running back phenom. Sunday morning, I had a long conversation with a Duke football legend about winning just isn't enough now. He didn't have an answer. The Triangle metro area is among the fastest growing in America. Those expatriates arrive with no inbred partisan allegiances to any of the three area programs. Are any of them choosing Duke as their local team and making a minimal effort to go to the Wally to their games? Not so far. Will spending millions to redo the Wally create an additional 20,000 humans going to games at the Wally 2.0? Current reality says no. But I still like David Cutcliffe a lot.
That is the 60-second sound-off of Bob Lee, BobLeeSays.com. And we are counting down as this is the Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. I'm Rand Northam, and Art C. is in Greenville, and he's in enemy territory. It sounds like just about everything is locked down in Greenville and almost locked up, right, Art?
Exactly. We'll talk about that later. Look, I just want to say one thing to Bob Lee. Said, you know, the reason why Duke Indoor Stadium has never been replaced or expanded is because they have a fan base that fits into Duke Indoor Stadium, Cameron Indoor Stadium. The reason why nobody goes to the Duke football games is because Duke just doesn't have a fan base in Durham or in the state of North Carolina to have enough people to make the decision to go. Duke would have to win big, substantially, in for 10 straight years, somewhat like Florida State did, in a state that was dominated by the University of Florida and Miami, for them to develop the fans. They don't have the built-in alumni like Carolina has. So I'm not surprised nobody was there. There'll be people there on November 20th when the Tar Heels go, because half the stadium will be Tar Heels. But that's one of Duke's perils. And the athletic director, Tom Butters, used to say, you know, we don't make money in football, and we don't have to. That was his line.
Well, the change is
Bob Lee.
What you got? What you
let's,
got,
let's have a minute as we wait for David Glenn.
How often have we said that in the last 45 minutes?
I mean, he's stuck somewhere in this madhouse that is Greenville. But if you want to do 2 seconds on the NFL, that would be fine. People want to know. For example, I've seen everybody saying Roger Goodell's press conference was vacuous and he didn't say anything. And if players are being suspended and fined, and Goodell admitted that he made mistakes, why isn't he being suspended and fined? And my answer to that is because he didn't punch anybody or he didn't whip anybody. That's the difference.
Well, the question keeps coming back. How would you feel if you were Sean Payton and the commissioner told you ignorance is no excuse? And so he suspended Sean Payton for a year because he didn't know what his defensive coordinator was running Bounty Gate.
Well, if it turns out that Roger Goodell is guilty not knowing what the hell was going on in his own organization, then I think he probably will lose his job and his $40 million salary.
Now, have you seen the story today about what Baltimore knew two months ago?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, the owner and the general manager, great Ozzie Newsom, knew what was going on 2 months ago, and John Harbaugh wanted to fire Ray Rice back then, and they overruled him, and look what's coming back. I mean, it's the cover-up again. It's not the deed,
Steve
it's
Bichette,
the cover-up. Bichette, yeah.
Steve Bichette, the owner of the Ravens, is a good friend of Goodell's, and Goodell took their word for what they told him happened, and they knew more than what they told him happened, and they lobbied for a two-game suspension. And those people are complicit as much as anybody else. So
right, now I got another question for you. I got another question for you, Chansky. Right. My wife and I disagree on this one. You and I both have raised children, right?
Yeah.
Did you ever
some better than others?
Yeah. But
you did a great job.
Idea of spanking with a rod or a tree branch a 4-year-old. Now I get a 6 or an 8-year-old, which knows what you're doing to them, but a 4-year-old. You don't hit a 4-year-old with a tree branch or a ruler or a meter stick or a ping pong paddle. A 4-year-old is like hitting a kitten with a hammer. You don't need to discipline a 4-year-old with that sort of level of corporate punishment.
Well, all I can say about that is that 90% of the alcoholics in this country are adult children of alcoholics. You tend to do what's been done to you, for good or for bad or for indifferent. And I'm not saying that's an excuse to Adrian Peterson, but that's the excuse that he's using. So let's just let that one pass at that, because that whole NFL situation, I never thought that I would see an institution like the NFL, which seemed to have its arms around everything. If something went wrong, they acted right away. They knew what to do. They disciplined the player. Now they just don't. They flip-flop. They flip-flop back and forth all week long, and it's really the NFL is really in trouble. And Goodell may lose his job, but let's wait till everything washes out and see who did what to whom and who really
will
is.
Will we ever know that, you think, Art?
Well, you know, so much is coming out now. I think we will eventually. It turns out that we do eventually. We don't know it as people are trying to cover things up.
Well,
but eventually, I think everything does come out.
I'll go back to the most famous example of that situation, and that goes back 3.5 years right here in Chapel Hill when the story came out about all the parking tickets and all the loyal Chapel Hill fans said, okay, that's the bottom. We know everything now, and the name Julius Nangaro had never been mentioned. So if we knew everything when the parking ticket gate came out a few months after Tweetgate, everything else wouldn't have been out there. So what is the bottom? When have we hit bottom with these scandals?
The bottom is when we get to Bob Leagate. That's
there
the bottom.
You go. There
guys,
you go.
The good sports, it's time for the 2-minute drill now as we are just about ready to send it off to the Tar Heel Sports Network. We start with Art Chansky. If UNC is 3-0 at 6 o'clock, what will our final record be?
Our final record will be, if we're 3-0 at 6 o'clock, our final record will be 10-2.
Wow, I like that. I'll go for 8 or 9 W's, but we've got to be 3-0. If we're 2-1, the next 3 weeks are scary.
Well, because it's not the one loss as much as it's an indication of what kind of a football team Carolina has. Go ahead, keep going.
Bob Lee, will Switzer break a punt return this week?
I'm going to say yes because I want him to.
I'm going to say no because it's increasingly harder for him to break one, because they don't kick the ball to him. They key on him with the punt return team.
Wouldn't you have expected that last season too, though?
Well, eventually, but he didn't start breaking punts until the second half of the season. So, they didn't have as much tape. They didn't have as much scouting as they have on him this year.
And will Art successfully escape Greenville? Art, I'll give
and
you
Anthony,
this one first.
And Anthony, we got to get Anthony back. We don't need Art. We need Anthony.
I very much expect Anthony can make it out. I don't think Art can.
Yeah, Anthony Wellman will be just fine. I promise you that.
Well, if you see, If you see
tell David Glenn we really enjoyed talking to him today.
If you see him on the Greenville Boulevard, see me on the Greenville Boulevard with my thumb out, somebody please pick me up. Now, I'm fine. We did our due diligence. We did not get where we wanted to be to broadcast, but we got to a much better place. We got on the front lawn of a tailgate right across the street from the stadium, where we got much more of a true Pirate fan atmosphere than we would have anywhere else.
All right, I've got one final question for you, Art.
Okay.
Has Henry Hinton invited you to his VIP suite to watch the game?
I haven't heard from Henry Hinton yet.
I did.
I know you did.
This has been The Good Sports with Art C.
How about predictions?
Predictions. We got 1 minute. Give them to me quick. Art, go ahead.
All right.
You guys don't like talking X's and O's.
Yeah, well, I think East Carolina's going to win the game 42-35, something like that.
Wow.
I'll agree with that. That's about what I had down to. I don't think we have the power to stop them, and I don't think we have enough offense to match them point for point.
Well, it's artsy.
But if we do, watch out. If we do win this game, watch out.
Right, who do you pick tonight? Clemson, Florida State. Final score.
I pick Florida State because I think that, it's the old Dean Smith thing. You know, you lose one player, everybody bands together and makes up for them for one game. So
I agree.
I like Florida State.
Big thanks to Anthony Wellman in Greenville, our on-site engineer. Here in the studios with me is Alex Curley. Bob Lee is here as well. Art C. out in Greenville, and they might just make it home. It's been The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. We send it out to Greenville with the Tar Heel Sports Network next, right here on WCHL. Go Heels!